This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the old firm are back. Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer of Galileo, and Raymond Parsons, Head of the School of Business and Governance at Northwest University, in studio. Warwick, kick us off a couple of results before we get stuck into Jackson Hole and what's going on with Jerome Powell and Trump tweeting again. Grindrod Northern Platinum. It's interesting because Grindrod reported seemingly bad results. The market liked the forward-looking statement. Northern, fantastic results on paper, but the market had largely priced these in.
It's all that damn anticipation, you know. Well, it clearly happened in the case of Northam. I mean, what we can say there is excellent operating profitability. They contained their costs well. They are coming to the end of quite a big expansion CapEx program, but that's clearly delivering for them. Cherry on the cake, fabulous safety record there as well. So all going swimmingly there. I guess the Rand was obviously quite helpful, and clearly the PGM basket was quite helpful as well. Although clearly they must be riding on palladium. I mean, that platinum price continues to look absolutely awful. I guess everything else is what's doing the heavy lifting there.
And rhodium as well. Grindrod, on the other hand, is a business undergoing a major structural change.
Massive restructure in the last year. I mean, we saw an unbundling of the shipping business midway through last year. We've seen the agricultural business and the marine fuel business is basically going to get sold off, although to whom remains to be seen. But both of those are really very cyclical, very much trading businesses that aren't really that well suited to the listed share environment because they're kind of, it's neck snapping volatility that comes in there. So we're seeing a much tighter logistics and freight business coming through there and ports. And I like the look of the new look Grindrod that's coming together, I must say. Not a great big business, but looks to me like a solid tight one.
Talking of a solid tight one, we were hoping that Jerome Powell would grow up here in the face of an increasing threat from POTUS. And Raymond, he seems to have done that over in Jackson Hole.
Well, he seems to be standing his ground, I think, actually. That's my impression. He's chosen his words, as all central bankers do, quite carefully. He's looked at the global economic outlook. It says it's not very good at the moment. He says he will do what is necessary to sustain the expansion, which is what he's said before. He spoke about the tariffs, saying there's no rule book on the trade wars and that the Fed might have to look through these developments. But on the whole, he seemed to be quite comfortable. And I think he's just leaving himself space to be able to act in the face of uncertainty, both from a domestic point of view and also from a sort of global point of view. So I think that really from engage from what we've just looked at in terms of his comments, he's leaving himself with space to move. But at the same time, I have the impression that he is going to stick to his mandate and he will be data dependent. He will take his decisions on the basis of how he sees the world outlook and how he sees the domestic outlook in the United States. And I must say, from the numbers that he gave, he seems to be very comfortable with their outlook, that there's more good news than there's bad news. That would be my snapshot picture of what he said today.
He's saying that the economy is close to both goals there of price stability and full employment. Interesting to note his comments on no rule book for trade wars, because it does seem to leave the door open for a kind of left field response. Should the trade war continue, and we're seeing a further $75 billion worth of US goods now in the tariff crosshairs by the Chinese. No mention of that inverted yield curve, though. What does that tell you, Ray?
Well, I think we've said here before that this time it's different, and we should be careful what we read into that. And I'm sure that Warwick would want to add to that. I would just add this dimension, though. I'm more concerned about the risk of us having currency wars flowing from the trade wars. Mm. And I think we've just got to watch that, because if you take the trade wars plus the currency wars, I think you really have a big negative then perhaps building up for the world economy. So I think that's just something we need to watch, and we hope that if you can settle the trade issues, then the risk of the currency wars also gets diminished. You've seen what's happened to the Chinese currency. In fact, it's neutralized a lot of what Trump is trying to do. Now, you may say, well, okay, that doesn't mean to see you back where you were. There's such a lot of underlying tension which could turn extremely destructive and very negative.
And we'll come back to that with the President of the United States' tweet deck going into hyperdrive. Six tweets in the last hour, Warwick, all about Jerome Powell. That inverted yield curve. This time it's different. Why?
Okay, firstly, I must say I would like to see a rude central banker for a change. They're far too polite, and frankly, I wouldn't mind if they called out these politicians for the House of Fathers that they all are. Anyway, that aside and off my chest, the yield curve. Okay, so the last seven times that we had a yield curve inversion, every time resulted in a recession between 12 and 18 months in the States. So you would say perfect forecasting record there. However, every single time it's inverted, that's between the Second World War and now, it's always done so with the short end, i.e. short-term interest rates coming up.
Hmm.
What's happened this time is the long end is
coming down. Yeah.
And that's a very different scenario. So first of all, there's pollution in that yield curve, in that I think a lot of yield demand has flowed over, especially from Europe. I forget what the last count on negative yielding debt is now, something like 17 trillion euros or something like that, a lot of it European and Japanese. You know, that's kind of crazy. I mean, when you think about you buy a Swiss bond for 50 years, and actually at the end of it, you're actually chipping in. I mean,
negative interest rates tell you that the market thinks something big and bad is going to explode pretty soon.
Exactly. And in the meantime, you have all of this cheap money coming available into the States at, 1.5% odd or whatever on the 30 years. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. It actually is potentially quite stimulus. And the big surprise that I think people aren't ready for is there is a very real possibility of a melt-up in U.S. securities.
And that is interesting. Raymond, what do you make of that? Because I see you sticking your hand up. I can't even ask you the next question.
I was going to say at this point, you know, that it's important that we think global, but we act local. You know that mantra.
Mm.
And all this is telling us why we must make sure that our house is in order so that we can deal with any headwinds that might happen. But we must get it in order also, more importantly, for domestic reasons over which we have control.
Absolutely. And monetary policy, Raymond, the Saab governor goes to great lengths to downplay the import of monetary policy. And Powell's speech today says that monetary policy is a powerful tool. It works to support consumer spending, business investment, public confidence.
I think the point here is, as we say in the field of economics, when we discuss these alternatives, it all depends. And I think that's what's important. You have to relate it to your circumstances. I believe in monetary policy, we may have a little more room to maneuver than we often say, but nothing like, for example, some other central banks might have.
Absolutely.
And if you are the United States, you are in a very powerful position to make a difference, not only to their economy, but to the world economy.
Raymond Parsons, head of the School of Business and Governance at Northwest University, and Warwick Lucas, CIO of Galileo Asset Managers. Kitlejo has your view from the traffic.